Okay, so we are going to begin our second Chazar Shir for the fall semester. Today is December 25th. Let us continue. We're on the Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we are up to the bottom of the Gemara where we're talking about. The Gemara asks, V'hai Savida Malach Habibi Nayhu, that the Malach was on between them, and therefore what? Therefore, both should be Chayavim, therefore the second guy should be Chayav. So Tosus says that the question is only that the second guy should be Chayav. So you should just know, even though Tosus says it's impossible to say that the first guy would be Chayav, after all, he just did something and then walked away and the Malach wasn't even finished. You should just know, for your own edification, there is a Tosos on Daf Tzadi Gimel that suggests a Svara that perhaps, again, I don't know if he passes like this, but Tosos suggests the possibility that Akira alone, the guy who did the Akira alone, could be Chayev. At least that Svara exists. But Tosos here assumes not that way. Tosos here assumes that it can't be, that we're suggesting that a person who just did an Akira would be Chayev. If anything, the question is that the second party would be Chayev, to which the Gemara answers, No, we learned from the three miyuts on whatever that stuff was, Tzadi something rather, ba'asota, that it's only when you do a full malacha, not when you do half a malacha. So therefore, you only chayav if you do both an akira and a hanacha. I think we pointed out that what was the question of the Gemara? The Gemara says both of them did something, and therefore both of them should, according to the Gemara's question. The question is, why are you saying you're pater if you just did an Akira, or if you're pater if you just did a Hanacha, but they did a Malacha between the two of them, and therefore they did a Malacha between the two of them and finish your sentence, and therefore they should
both be
Chayv Skila? Both be Chayv Chatas. So that's what the Sfat Emet points out, that it would make sense to say that each one should be chayav a chatas, because a chatas is something that you could bring as a joint venture. That point goes very well with Tosfos, who learns that this question is not going back on the Mishnah, but if you remember, Tosfos said this question is going back on the line before it. And the line before it said, Asili dechi of chatas katani, it's talking about a karban chatas, so the next line could say, oh, but a malacha was done between them, so you see that a malacha was done between them, maybe they should bring the Karban Chatas. So that works very well, according to Tosos, that it's going back on the previous line, because it's going back on a Chatas. A Chatas is something that two people could bring. We're not going to give two people, you can't have two people share a death penalty. Fine. That was somewhat of a side point.
Isn't that only a hypothetical question? Tosfos doesn't actually hold it right now.
Right. This is all in the Gemara's question. When the Gemara said, oh, they did a malacha between the two of them, so we're saying, and therefore what? Yes, it's a hypothetical question. Okay, let us go to the bottom sugya of Hitino Chaveiro, Gimel Amud Aleph. So let's just get the parameters of what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is talking about a case where you have your hand. You said, Ani, the person is standing outside, and he is loaded up. And the Gemara asks if he's loaded up. I'm sorry. The Gemara is asking if a person's body is loaded up, and he starts walking, is that going to be considered an Akira? And we pointed out that the Akira is not the last step you take before you leave the house. The Akira is once you are at a point of rest, and then you start walking, that's the Akira that we're talking about. And the Gemara contrasts it to a case where instead of my body being loaded up, but my hand is being loaded up. And the Gemara says that if I pull my hand out, that wasn't an Akira. So how come when I have something on my body, it is an Akira? So the Gemara says that there's a difference because Gufo Nayach Yodo Lo Nayach. So we had a total of, I think, three explanations of what the difference between a hand that's not at rest as opposed to the body, which is at rest. What's the difference in hand and body? So first Rashi. Rashi said that your hand, at least Vaitosis understands Rashi, the hand is... What?
Which Rashi?
Bottom Rashi, bottom two Rashis.
Okay. I understand the case.
The case is, if you load me up, you put something on my shoulders, and I walk out. The Gemara asks, is that Akira?
Okay.
Now, the Gemara points out that it is not, it paskins that it is an Akira, and it's going to be different than the case of, look at this, if something is put in my hand, and I pull my hand out, where he did the Akira, put it in my hand, and I just pulled it out, so I'm Pater. What do you mean? Why shouldn't that pulling the hand out be an Akira? If I have something on me and my body walks, if somebody loads my hand, and I pull my hand out, was that pulling the hand out an Akira?
No.
No. That's the classical case of two people doing something.
Yeah.
So how come when somebody loads my shoulder and I walk out, that is an Akira? What's the difference if I walk out with my feet or if I pull my hand out with my arm? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers that my hand is at rest. I'm sorry, my body is at rest, my hand is not at rest. Three pshatim. Rashi says that my hand has, when is my hand at rest? When it's on the ground, then it's at rest. But if my hand is in the air, which is the case of the Mishnah, that it's putter in the case of the Mishnah, my hand is not at rest, so therefore when I pull my hand out, I didn't do, what?
An Akira.
That's the key word. According to Rashi, what you didn't do, when since your hand is suspended in the air, there was no ripping anything away when I withdraw my hand. I didn't rip anything off any place, and therefore I didn't do an Akira. So what's to...
Why is that different from the body?
Because my body is at rest on the floor. My feet are resting on the floor. So when I take... This is my hand.
Okay.
My feet are on the floor. That's Rashi's pshat. So what is Tosis' question? Let's look at Tosis' questions over here on the bottom. Bottom Tosfos. Tosfos' question is, according to Rashi, Tosfos asks, if you have somebody standing, if I would be standing next to Doug, and he would put something in my hand. If this is not an Akira, then if I walk out, I'm going to be putter, because my hand was not at rest. And we know that that's absurd, because this is a regular case of you put something in my hand, and now I take it outside. That's clearly a case that's chayev.
Yeah.
So how can you say that when your hand's not on the floor, that's considered not an Akira? Because in the case where we're in the same rishus, it's definitely... Yes, considered an Akira.
Because when you're...
You want to give an answer for Rashi.
Because I don't remember if Rashi says it, but when you're inside and he hands it to you, your feet are like in the same place that where your hand is. But when you extend your hand or you put something in your hand, your hand isn't stationed in that domain where he gave it to you. It's automatically going to be pulled back towards...
That's what Tosis is going to say. So now we're going to go to the second shot. That's Tosis' pshat. So the second pshat in the Gemara is Tosis' pshat. Tosis says that the contrast between the hand and the body is not that the hand has to be on the ground in order to be an Akira. Rather, Tosis says that every hand, by definition, is pulled after the body, follows the body. So therefore, when Doug puts something in my hand... Where is this? This hand is really sort of following, drawn after the body. So when I pull this out, what did I do? I didn't do a hatzah, because it was already, in a certain kind of sense, already in the Rishus HaRabim where my feet are.
That's what Tosfos says.
That's Tosfos' pshat. So Tosfos says that that's this girsa of the look at the bottom line of Rashi, where he says you don't, the other, Lishna Achrina, Yado Basa Gufo Grira, he said, Rashi says you don't have to say that. But this is the gears that Tosfos does go with, that your hand is following or drawn after the body. Just like the body is outside, so too the hand is outside. So according to Tosfos, what's the pshat in, why is a hand different than a body walking outside? The difference is not that there is no Akira by a hand, but rather, by when the hand pulls something out, there was never Hotzah, because it was never from inside to outside. It was always outside.
And by Rashi, it's you didn't do Akira.
Correct.
So for Rashi, was it like the hand literally like close to the ground? Like
if the hand would be on the ground, the Rashi would hold it, would be an Akira. If the hand is, because I'm ripping it off the ground, if the hand is suspended, there's no Akira. So therefore, when I pull it out, I'm not going to be fine.
Tosfot said there was no Hotsa'a, and Rashi said there was no Akira.
That's how we're explaining, yes. Yes. Now, the Rashba, plays a game, and he says these two things are really one. Meaning, the Rashba says, let's look at the Gemara further on Daf Tzadi something or other, where we talked about a big box that was put half outside, half inside, and we talked about a box of sesame seeds that was, and the Gemara discussed whether the box joins them, unites them, is igud kli shmei igud, is the that which the box combines all the fruits or sesame seeds or mustard seeds inside of it, is that considered one whole unit, or do we look at every sesame seed separately? And while I was talking about that, it also said that if we look at it, the whole box, not as every sesame seed for himself, but rather as the box of sesame seeds, so it's not going to be considered hotzah unless the entire box, keep looking at my phone, let me look at this magazine, unless the entire box is in the other shirt. But if it's a little bit, if I didn't put it all the way outside, it's a little bit still connected to me, that was not hotzah, if we look at it as a whole box. Why? Because we don't follow Rav, because it's not a real, you could say it in different ways, it's not a real akira if it's not completely ripped out. Or it's not a hanacha unless it's completely implanted. So in that Gemara, the Gemara did mentioned also the concept of something that's in your hand being outside. We say just like here, the box is still a little bit resting in the original reshut. It's an inch or two of the box, the edge of the box, never left the reshut. So too, whenever anything's in your hand, agida biyado. Something is in your hand, it's tied to your body. It's still, agida means it's tied, it's connected. It's tied to your body, and therefore, we have the Gemara itself introducing us the idea of yado basar gufo grira, that if something is in your hand, it's considered following the body, so that if it's following the body, it was never really, when I pull my hand out, it was never taking something inside to outside. According to, using that Gemara, the Rashba says that Rashi and Tosos are really one pshat. Why is it that it's not an Akira? When Rashi says that your hand is not at rest, the Rashba explains a hand can never be at rest. Because the reason why your hand is never at rest is not because it's on the floor or in the air. He says that Rashi says that's not Pshat Rashi, whether your hand is in the floor or in the air. Your hand, by definition, can never be at rest. Why can my hand not be at rest? Because my hand is connected to my body. And if my body walks, guess where my hand's going to go? It's going to go to follow the body. So therefore, how could you ever say my hand's at rest in this Rishus if it's connected to my body and my body could walk around wherever it wants? It must be my hand, by definition, if it's in a different Rishus, is never at rest, whether it's on the floor or in the air. A hand is never at rest. What's the reason for that? Because yada basar gufo grira. So what the Rashba does is he combines Rashi and Tosos to say that both of these yourselves together, that your hand is not at rest because your hand follows the body. That's what the Rashba, that's how the Rashba explained.
So that the first part, their hand never being at rest, that's like Rashi.
And right, and the simple reading was, and it should depend if it's on the floor or not on the floor.
It shouldn't.
According to our original understanding before the Rashba,
yeah.
So your hand is not at rest because it's suspended.
Yeah.
But if your hand would be on the floor, maybe, then that would be an Akira.
But even according to the Rashba.
According to the Rashba, we're saying that no, what does it mean that your hand is not at rest? Your hand is not at rest, not because it's elevated or suspended in the air as opposed to on the floor. Your hand is not at rest. A hand, any hand is never at rest. Why? Because yadar basar gufo grira. Because it's always drawn after the body.
So there's no
and hands can't be at rest in a different rishus because they're always going to be pulled and followed.
Is the Rashba saying that's not a makira then?
Yes, correct. And therefore, however, even if my hand would be on the floor, That would not be an akira. Well, that would not be a hotza.
That
would not be a hotza because it's following my hand.
I mean, but if it's in the air, it wouldn't be an akira because you never picked it up off the ground.
Again, according to the Rashba, I don't care if your hand's on the point's not if your hand's on the floor or not on the floor.
So the concept of a hand is never
the
ever.
The concept of a hand can't, by definition, can't be. Can't.
Because I don't really see so much of a difference between Rashba and Tosafot.
The Rashba is the same Svara as Tosafot. You're right. Yeah. It is the same Svara as Tosafot. But he's fitting it into the Girsa of Rashi. Tosafot said, don't be goreis the Lashon. What do you have in your Gemara? The bottom line of your Gemara. What does it say? It says, Gufo naech yodo lo naech. Your hand, body's at rest, your hand is not at rest. Tosafot says, don't say those words, that your hand is that your hand is not at rest. It's that your hand is following your body. Rashi says, no, you can have both. And you have your cake and eat it too. You could say that your hand is
not at rest.
Not at rest. And just say that the reason is because it's following the body. Okay? Now, we pointed out something very important in this bottom Rashi. We didn't really talk about it as much as we should have. Rashi the second to last Rashi on the page says, Yod Elonayich, your hand is not at rest. Rashi says in the second part of Rashi, the second to last line on the page, Ein derech hotza below akira vahanacha. If you don't do an akira vahanacha, that is, I would have said, not a malacha. Rashi says it's not derech of hotza. In other words, Rashi seems to be saying that the need for akira and hanacha is to make it be an action, to make your action an action that was done kedarko. Like, you know, for example, when I had my baby on Shabbat, I had to go to the elevator on Friday night. So how did I press the elevator button?
With your elbow?
With my elbow, with my chin, with my knuckles maybe. Why? Because I wanted to make it an action that is shalom kedarko. So Rashi's saying, a hotzah, in order to be a hotzah that would be kedarko, would have to be normal. How do normal people carry things? They lift something up. They walk outside and they put it down. And if therefore is the need for hutzah, the need for akir hanach is because of the need for a daiko. Did I mention Rav Menachem Zemba's question on that?
No.
No? Okay. So we won't mention it now.
It's actually really, I don't remember what it was.
Rav Menachem Zemba was killed by the Nazis, the Rav of the Warsaw Ghetto. Rav of the Warsaw Ghetto, I think. It's good by the Nazis. He has a whole sefer, believe it or not, he has a whole sefer on Hatzah. On these few blood, he has a whole sefer just on this sugya. And he asks that, the question that we're sort of raising, that, what do you mean? Akira is part of the action. Shalok Kedarko means that I did the full action, but I did it in a weird way. If I do a Hatzah without an Akira, or I did a Hatzah without a Hanacha, that's not just a weird way to do the malacha, that's not doing the full malacha. And even if Rashi's telling me, no, really, you know why Akira is necessary? You know why Hanacha is necessary? Because it's so that it could be a normal way to do it. Well, why are you telling me that in this sugya, when it's talking about a very specific kind of case, when my hand is over here, and we want to know, if you put it in my hand, was this considered an Akira? Or not, so Rashi says, oh, akiras are necessary because to make it kedarko. If this is true, that the whole yesod of akira and hanacha is just to make it normal, then why did Rashi tell us this, you know, in the first amud, or any of the five times he could have told us this beforehand, on normal cases of akira, where you lift something up and walk outside? Okay, I don't know if we did that question. Now, we're going to go to the second to last Tosos, new topic. Second to last Tosos Akira Skufa Kerchiras Chavetz Dami. So what was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question on the bottom of the page is, if I'm loaded up on my body, and then if you load me up on my body, and then I walk out, is my walking out considered an Akira? Meaning, is Akira Skufo just like a regular Akira of the Chavetz? That's the Gemara's question. Tosa says, just like the Gemara asks, if Akira Skufo, when you start walking, is that considered an Akira? The same question would equally apply to hanacha. If I'm carrying something and I stop walking, is that considered a hanacha? The same question by Akira that the Gemara has by Akira, we will apply to hanacha. And just like the Gemara concludes that Akira's gufo is an Akira, presumably hanacha's gufo, meaning if I'm carrying something and I stop walking, that would also be a hanacha. Which is, parenthetically, why we said that let's say you realize that you're carrying something in your hands on Shabbos in a place where there's no air, what should you do? Well, don't stop. Keep on walking so that you will not be doing this hanachas gufo. That's Tosos. On Tosos, there's a Tosos Yeshanim on the side. And Tosos Yeshanim said that... Actually, before we do Tosos Yeshanim, let's do Rashi. Rashi and Daf Beis Amud Aleph that we all learned 3 months, 4 months ago, 5 months, 4 months ago. Rashi says that when I take something, Doug, hold something in your hand, lift something from Doug's hand, Akira, take it outside, I do everything by myself. What did I just do? Nope, I'm not. What did Rashi add? I have to put it down on the floor. Why? It seems that Rashi holds that just being still is not enough to be considered a hanacha. I actually have to rest on the floor. So Rashi holds what? Rashi seems to hold that hanacha's gufo is not a hanacha. Being still is not a hanacha. Rashi's not going to argue on this Gemara. This Gemara is a clear Gemara that says that Akira's gufo is an Akira. It must be that Rashi holds that the Gemara was only asking about Akira's gufo, and the Gemara only concluded that Akira's gufo is an Akira. Why did the Gemara not mention hanacha? Not because of Tosis says, oh, because they're the same. Rashi says, absolutely not. The Gemara only asked about Akira and only answered about Akira because only Akira's gufo is an Akira. But Hanacha's gufo is not going to be a Hanacha. And that's why Rashi and Beis Amud Aleph says you're going to have to actually put it down because Hanacha's gufo is not a Hanacha. That's the second way to look at this sugya, meaning that the Gemara's question is only by Akira and not by Hanacha. Why? Because Hanacha is clearly... Not a good... Hanacha Saguf is not sufficient. You have to actually put it on the floor.
In the case of Mishnah, he put it down.
Right? He has to actually put it down.
But according to Tosso, we say the opposite. Why was...
According to... Tosso Yishanim.
Tosso Yishanim.
Now we're going to have a third pshat.
Yeah.
Tosso Yishanim says...
What was the first pshat again?
Tosso says they're equal. The Gemara's question about Akira is just the same question by Hanacha.
Yeah, exactly.
Rashi said, no, the question was only by Akira, because by Hanacha, Hanacha's Haguf is definitely not sufficient.
So
now we're going to have the...
First also, did he say that Hanacha, what's it called? The first, Akira's Gufo, Hanacha Gufo, obvious, that's why we don't say it.
That's what we're about to say, we didn't say that yet. According to Tosus, there's a question by both. According to Rashi, there's only a question by Akira because Hanacha is clearly not sufficient. And Tosfos Yeshanim says the diametric opposite is diametrically opposed to Rashi. Tosfos Yeshanim says, do you know why the Gemara only asked by Akira? Because by Hanacha, we're certain that Hanacha's Haguf will definitely, yes, work.
How does he know that?
The exact opposite of Rashi. How does he know that? He says, because there's an explicit Gemara on Dal and Amud Beis that talks about the need for to have an Akira and the Hanacha on a Makom that's Dalet Tzvachim by Dalet Tzvachim. And the Gemara there on Dalet Amud Beis says that maybe you only need to do an Akira from Dalet by Dalet, but Hanacha you do not need to do on Dalet by Dalet. What do you see from that Gemara? You see that the requirements for Akira are much more stringent. But Hanachas are easy to happen. Hanachas are very easy to happen. They don't have such formal requirements. You could do a Hanacha anywhere. So similarly, just like you could do, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, just like you could do Hanacha even on less than Dalet al Dalet, you could do a Hanacha anywhere. Presumably, it's easy to do Hanachas. You could also do Hanacha just by stopping to walk. So stopping to walk is definitely, there was never even a Gemara Shaila about is Hanachas Gufo like Hanachas Chefetz. Of course Hanachas Gufo is enough by itself. It's so obvious the Gemara didn't have to ask it. That's why the Gemara only asked by Akira. Would Akira Saguf be considered, would starting to walk, is that an Akira? It only asked that, because it knows, of course, for stopping to walk, stopping would definitely be sufficient to be a Hanacha. So those are three pshatim and how to understand this Gemara's question. Now, we suggested a cute, this is my own idea, I think one of you, Yossi, Alex, thought of the, I think Alex had the, you know, came up with this idea also. Perhaps these different shitas, these three shitas, might be somewhat l'shita sayhu, according to their reasoning. What is Hotzah? What's the source for Hotzah? What did Rashi say? How does Rashi hold? What's the source of Hotzah? Mekaleha mehavi. So Rashi is talking about, is that talking about taking out of a house or bringing to a place?
So
talking about bringing to a place. So that means that what's the, what, when Torah talks about Hotzah, it's talking about the Akira or the Hanacha. If the source for Hotzah is to bring to a certain place, so therefore the Hanacha is what's going to have the more formal requirements. And therefore Hanacha has to have a real Hanacha. And therefore the Gemara only is going to ask about Akira. Akira maybe, according to Rashi now. According to Rashi, Akira might, maybe Akira Saguf will be enough, but Hanacha Saguf, that definitely is not going to be sufficient. You need a really formal Hanacha. It's very strict. That's what Torah talked about.
Yeah.
We learned that Tosos holds, what's the source for Hatzah? Two psukim. So Akira and Hanacha, there's a source for Akira, there's a source for Hanacha. So they're both equal. That's why Tosos here assumes that whatever the Gemara's question by Akira will be, so too will be the same by Hanacha. And what we're suggesting is that perhaps the Tosos Yishanim might hold, we have to look it up. We have to look up the Tosos Yishanim and Erevim. But perhaps the Tosos Yishanim would hold that the main source for Hotzah would be Al Yetzeh.
Taking out the basket.
And therefore he assumes that Hotzah is, that the Akira needs to be the most formal, but Hanacha, that's clearly sufficient, even if it's not so, even if it's not such a good Hanacha, even if you didn't do it al-dalit, even if you just stopped walking, that clearly will work. That was our suggestion. Now, getting back to the Tosfos Yishanim's proof. The Tosfos Yishanim proved that Hanacha is easy to make. It's easy to get a Hanacha. Why? Because we saw in Dalet Amud Beis that you could even do a Hanacha on a place that is
less
than Dalet al Dalet. So that's a great proof that Hanacha is easy to happen. And similarly, by us, Hanacha, just stop walking, that would be a Hanacha. What's Tosfos going to do with that pshat? Amen. What's Tosfos going to do? Wasn't that a great proof for the Tosfos Yishanim from Dalet Amud Beis that Hanacha is much lighter, much easier than Akira? So how does our Tosfos have the right to equate Hanacha and to say that, oh, if the Gemara asked about Akira, it also will ask about Hanacha? Wait a second. Maybe Hanacha is much more lenient, much more less, I don't want to say lenient, much more less demanding. And therefore, maybe, why does Tosfos extending this Akir Saguf also to Hanacha? So the Pnei Yeshua answered that if you look at Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, these two Tosfos will be Lishita Sayu. Because Tosfos over there, when he's explaining the point of Dalet al Dalet, he gives the source for Dalet al Dalet. And Tosfos over there, if you look at the two reasons why you need to have Dalet by Dalet, are not telling you anything about the relative severity of Akiras or Hanachas. It's just very specific. Within a Hanacha, you should just know, that's why do you have to do a Hanacha, Dal al Dal? Because Hanacha is severe? No, just because that's how the Hanacha was done in the Mishkan. So what was the Hanacha that we learned? What did we learn in the Torah? That people brought gold to the Mishkan. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm backwinding a minute. The Gemara there said that maybe you only need Hanacha Dalet al Dalet for Akira, but not for Hanacha. So we've been understanding that that means that Akira is more demanding and Hanacha is lighter, is less severe. But if you look at Tosfos over there, he explains to you the difference between Akira and Hanacha has nothing to do with one being severe and one being not severe, with one being more demanding, one being less demanding. Tosfos on Daf Dalet says, Why do you need? Why does Akira need Dalet al Dalet? Because it's more severe? No, very simply, because that's how they did it in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you took gold and brought it to the Gizbar. Where do you take gold from?
From your shoe to the
yachter. More specifically, where do you keep your gold? Hanging on your walls?
From your house.
From a little box. That probably is dollar by dollar, because that's a maka. So you took it out from a box, and you took it to the Gizbar. So you see that the Akiras are all from places that are dollar by dollar. Or, says Tosus, the Pasuk says, Ayetze ish mi mikomo. Well, what does the word makom mean? In halacha, dollar by dollar. So you see that you shouldn't go out from a makom. So the coming out, the Akira, has to be a dollar by dollar. What do those two sources show you? That the reason why you need, the reason why the Gemara and Daf Dalet Amud Beis said that Akira, not Hanacha, that Akira needs Dalet al Dalet is not because Akira is better, not because Akira is more anything. It just happens to be that there are two sources that Akira is specifically should be with Dalet al Dalet, but not because it's any better or special. And therefore, Tosus did not see anything in that Gemara of Dalet Amud Beis that shows you that Hanacha is easier or more lenient. There's a specific reason within the world of Dalet al Dalet that it only applies to Akira, not Hanacha, not because of the relative severity, and therefore they still could be equal. And that's why Tosus Bayas said, whatever question applies to Akira will equally apply to Hanacha. That was the Pnei Yeshua's answer for Tosus, showing that Tosus is Lishitase, and thereby answering for Tosus the Tosus Yishanim's challenge from Dalet Amud Beis. Josh, did you get that? You got that cheshbon? Yes, no, yeah? Okay. Fine. Then we're already up to this week.
Oh my God.
This is just about the end. So, Gimel Amud Beis. We have the Gemara's conclusion on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph was that Akira Saguf, if you start walking, is that considered an Akira? What's the conclusion?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Akira Saguf, you could eat lunch.
I'm not so hungry. I'll
eat it. Give it to Yossi then. Akira Saguf is Akira. Yes, that's the conclusion. And the Gemara says, I could prove it to you from a Braisa. What's the Braisa that we bring on Gimel Amud Beis, on the top of Gimel Amud Beis? So why? What do you see from that case? That's a case where instead of somebody else did the Akira, you did the Akira yourself, but you did it on Friday afternoon, right? You did it Friday afternoon, and then you're still. And when you started walking on Shabbos, you started walking out of your house. That the mission of this Braisa considers was a Hutzah. So you obviously did have an Akira on Shabbos, even though on Yom Bichayev, even though you never lifted it up on Shabbos. It must be Akira Saguf, Havei Akira. That's the Gemara. Now Tosfos points out 2 points. First of all, we have to say that you're standing still once Shabbos comes. Because if you originally, when you lifted up on Friday afternoon, you were walking around the whole time, then what will the Akira be? The Akira will be when you lifted it up on Friday afternoon. So it must be that you lifted up Friday afternoon, and then you stood still once it was Shabbos. Now, once you would start walking, that will be the Akira. That's the first half of Tosfos. The next half of Tosfos says, that the reason why the Braisa specifically had to talk about a case where you lifted up on Friday and not where you lifted up on Shabbos. Let's say you lifted up on Shabbos and then walked around for a little bit, then stood still, and then carried it outside. So couldn't that also teach us Akira Saguf? I stood still, and now I'm walking outside. So that should be Akira Saguf, Havi Akira.
Wait, didn't you pick it up during Shabbat?
Yes.
So then why is the stopping Akira?
That's exactly what Tosfos says. That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
In order for there to be any proof that Akira Saguf is an Akira, you have to have nothing else that you could ascribe it to.
Yeah.
If there was a lifting up on Shabbos, so maybe we'll say, oh no, the reason why he's chayev is not because it was an akira or a hanaf, it's just because he lifted it up.
Yeah. But if the Gemara said he lifted up on Shabbos, then he stood lafush.
That wouldn't be enough, because we could say, why are you chayev when you go outside? It's because of that. No. Maybe the lafush wasn't meaningless, because hanacha is a guf lo ave hanacha. And the stepping, walking outside was also meaningless, because akira is a guf lo ave akira. And why are you chayev? Only because originally, 4 minutes ago on Shabbos, you lifted it up. So it says it must be that you picked up before Shabbos. On here we had a gevaldige kasha of the Bekebeger. He says, according to Tosos, that you see that you have to pick it up. You had to do the picking up on Friday, because if you did a picking up on Shabbos, we would not know whether Nachas Guf is or Nachas Guf or not. So the Bekebeger says, wait a second. You have a question whether or not this whole Gemara's question that we have, the past half an Amud, if Akira is a Guf Havi Akira, wait a second. Isn't it explicit in the Mishnah? When Doug, not Doug because you're writing, when Yossi is holding something in Rishut HaRabbah, in Rishut HaYachid, and I go, and I lift it up, and take it, and put it down. The Mishnah says, I'm Chayav. Where did I take it from?
Yossi's hand.
Akira Yadav. Why is Yossi's hand the place that I was at rest?
Because it's in the same
makom
as me.
It must be that even though you picked it up from the refrigerator, you picked it up from wherever it is, you stopped.
Yeah.
And when you stopped walking,
your body,
that is considered at rest. And now I took it from a place at rest.
Oh, even though I never took it?
Even though we put it down.
Okay, never put it down, okay.
Right, so it must be, you didn't put it on the floor, it was in your hand, and I took it from your hand. That means your hand was at rest.
Yeah.
So that means that hanachas haguf, have hanacha. Such that now when I take from it, it's considered an akira. You weren't standing there the whole day. You lifted it up from somewhere in your house and you walked to the front door.
Yeah.
So, how is it considered at rest right now? It must be that you're stopping to walk by the front door.
Yeah.
Was itself considered the hanachas haguf, have hanacha.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why when I took from you it was an akira. That would be mechayev me, because it was from a place at rest.
Does it have to be hanacha for me for it to be akira for you?
That's what we're assuming.
Okay.
You're giving an answer already.
Yeah. Maybe even if it's not akira for me, it could still be...
That's going to be similar to what he answers.
Yeah.
Fine. That is basically what we did this semester.
Because we had our midterm late, so it's not that we did less. We did the same amount, it's just we had the midterm later.
Yeah, we had the midterm much later.
Yeah, like
and also Hanukkah was a week we didn't, I'm not testing on the Hanukkah
exactly.
Stuff. Bezus Hashem, tomorrow the exam will be at...
Earlier the better.
11?
It's at 11:30.
Let's think about it.
11? Okay, 11's fine.
11?
11,
okay, it'll be here. My Mechina students are taking a test here at 10.
So they won't be done.
So they probably won't be done.